We'd like to welcome you to The Journey from the Hill. This is a weekly podcast of Chapel Hill Baptist Church. Each week, you'll hear biblical teaching from our pastor, Dr. Shannon Moses. At the end of today's podcast, you'll hear a way to reach out to us with any questions you might have about this message. Now, let's prayerfully listen as Dr. Moses opens the Word of God.
God's good. God is so good, y'all. That's exactly right. We could sit there and we could talk about his goodness for a very, very long time. He's a good God. And you've been walking with him for a long time. You've been walking with the Lord for ever how long you've been. Let me ask you a question. I started this past Wednesday night with the same question. Are you growing? I'm not talking about physically. Are you growing spiritually? That's a question each person has to answer themselves. It's sort of a self-assessment, self-inventory kind of thing. Are you growing spiritually? You shouldn't be where you were this time last year. If you're in the Word, if you're praying, if you're hungering, if you're seeking the Lord, if you're living life and going through the ups and downs in lives, you and I should be growing. Every time we interact, every time we sing those songs of praise to the Lord, every time we open up God's Word and we interact and His Spirit washes over us. Because here's the deal, we cannot, we can close the book and completely ignore it and not read it, but when we read it and we see it and His Spirit convicts us of it, we're different. We know what's right. We know what's wrong. You don't have to be told. You don't have to come to church to be told. You have the Word of God around you on the phone, all over the place. And when we pick it up and the Spirit of God washes over us with the truth of His Word, it does not leave us the same. It's transformative. It moves us. And the very next time we get in a conversation with a family or a friend or we're going through life and the Spirit reminds us and it's living, y'all. This book is alive. It's alive. And we can apply it in not just in so many ways, in all of our ways, we can apply truth of God's Word. This morning I'm going to be talking about humility, okay? I don't know how to build it up. I don't know how to sit there and tell you a wonderful story and drag you all in and then punch you in the gut with humility. We're just talking about humility. Would you say you walk in with humility? Are you a humble person? What's the opposite of humility? Maybe pride? Maybe greed? Humility thinks less of self or thinks of self less often. We're not the center of the universe. It's not me, 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 me. Pride is very self-centered. Greed is very self-centered. Are you a humble person? Humble matters. Look at some verses with me. Go over Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11. We already know this verse, very familiar passage. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, says, "For I know the plans that I have for you." Who knows the plans? He knows the plans. "For he knows the plans that he has for us," declares the Lord. God's got this. "Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." That's sort of foundational for us as believers. It's foundational for us in our life. We must rest in the fact that God's got this. God's got you. God knows everything about it. He's got your future. He's had you. He's had you since He brought you into this world. And since He brought you into the family, He's had you and He's carried you every single moment. He knows the plans that He has for you. He's got this. He's got you. And here's the thing. He don't always tell us. He don't always tell us what tomorrow holds, but He's got this. He knows what He's doing in your life. And you can trust Him. He's dependable. We can rest in Him. Look with me over at another very familiar passage, 2 Chronicles 7:14. You know this verse. Knowing that God's got this, knowing that God's got everything, think about what are you dealing with? What are you struggling with? What are you dealing with at work? What are you dealing with soon to be at school? What are you dealing with in your health? What are you dealing with in your finances? What are you dealing with? What is it that keeps you up? Grandkids, kids, neighbors, a car won't crank. What is it? God's got that. Isn't that good to hear? Listen, God's got that. He knows the plans that He has for you. He's got that. I knew He would put it in here. I have wondered all week long why I did one of the stupidest things, and it was for now. I did. I'm sitting there like, Lord God, why did I just do that? In my backyard, I'm going to tell you a long, big story that has nothing to do about any one of those stickies. I'm just going to tell you a story, and it may make absolutely no sense to any of you, but this is real in my life. And now I kind of know because of this. Maybe. And I may finish the story and finish it on and be like, well, that made no sense. But I'm like, Lord God, I got to give them that, I guess. That's all I know to do. We've had in the backyard for, ever since we moved in, this big, massive A-frame old swing set. And I'm not talking the one you buy at Home Depot. I'm talking a homemade one, 4x4s, cemented into the ground on all the, you know, you got them in there on one side, and then you go further down, you got the three swings, and then you got the side that has the steps. You know what I'm talking about. And they're all six of those legs are A-framed in. All right, we're talking 6x6 across the top. This thing is going nowhere. I've had people say, hey, I want it. They never come and got it. So I'm like, I woke up. I don't know what day was it. One of the days or might have been an evening. I'm like, I'm getting rid of that thing. So I let the tailgate down on the truck. And I said, Hamilton, Avery, y'all come out here. We're fixing to cut this thing out. And we're going to throw it in that dumpster out there before that big dumpster leaves. We're going to throw it in the big construction dumpster. So I get in the truck, let the tailgate down in the truck, and I'm backing over there, and I'm staring at the swing, I'm looking at it in my rearview mirror, and all of a sudden, as I get up to it, boom! I've smashed my tailgate into, you know, the thing is long. You know, I'm staring at the big side. I'm staring at the slide side or the walk-up side, and I totally ignore the part that's 20 feet closer, 30 feet closer to me. I don't get a knot in my stomach. I get no knots in my stomach. I'm like, well, foot. And I just get out of the truck, and I look back, and I shut the tailgate, and it's got a massive dent in the tailgate, and I shut it, and it shuts. And I come on over there, and the boys just walk up to me, and they're like, did you just have a stroke? Are you okay? Because normally, by the grace of God, it wasn't one of them, because I'd have been pitching a fit. I'd have been upset. I'd have been, I would have gone, but I didn't say nothing. I just got chainsaw out, cut this thing up, threw it in there, shut it. It shut fine. And Youngins brought it up here, and I just get online, and I start looking. It's anywhere from $300 to $1,000, $1,200 to fix it. And I'm like, well, and I started asking a question, Lord, why did that just happen? It made no sense. Why did that just happen? So I'm looking on Facebook, looking on Marketplace, find a guy down in Fonsdale. Y'all know Fonsdale, south of here. It's a guy who owns a junkyard. I go back and forth, $350. I go down there, and I'm like, okay, I must be going to talk to this dude about Jesus. I'm like, because Avery was like, that's the quickest $350 you just threw out the window in a heartbeat. I'm like, it is. So I'm riding down there, and me and him's headed down to Fonsdale, and I'm like, Lord, just open up, because there's got to be a reason. There's got to be a reason that I just smashed a perfectly good tailgate for no reason. I didn't get upset. I never thought a second about it. There has to be a reason, and I'm like, I must be going to tell this dude about Jesus. All of a sudden, we get down there to the place. I pull into his yard, and there's a junkyard all back there on the back 40, and I kind of see it over there, and the rain is about to come, and the man said, hey, come on down here. So I get in the car, truck, and we drive around there, and as I'm driving up to this guy, the bottom falls out. I'm talking cats and dogs. I jump out of the car. He's got it already off. Don't let the dude, Hamilton Avery, hands him $350. I jump back in. I'm soaking wet. We're literally there for 30 seconds. I didn't say nothing to him. I'm like, God bless you, brother. And I jump in the car real quick. Why did I mash my tailgate and blow $350? Ava, do you know why? I still don't know why. I now got a white platinum tailgate on an XL pickup truck. And I'm going to leave it white, and it'll look different. It's kind of cool. I'm not painting it. I have no clue why that happened. Your preacher just foolishly threw $350 out the window. Didn't get to talk to the dude because as soon as I was ready to get out and have a conversation, I had done stalked him on Facebook and I had done stalked him on Facebook and looked all down through there and knew everything about him. I knew everything about him and I was ready to have some really good conversations. And as soon as we get out there, Avery will tell you in the second service, the bottom fell out and we weren't able to talk. Could it be God gave me that for this, to be able to say sometimes it don't make sense. Sometimes it don't supposed to make sense. Sometimes it don't fit in our plan. Sometimes it's not what we planned. Sometimes it just happens. So does that verse I just read, for I know the plans. See, and God knows the plan. I don't have to know the plan. It may be down the road that I'm at a gas station that some dude walks up to me and I'm pumping gas and he's like, why you got a white tailgate on a gray truck? And I'm like, glad you asked, because I've been waiting on you for a while. But sometimes, y'all, it don't make sense. We're not in control. We're not in control. Humility, God has the plan. God knows the plan that he has for us. And we're to trust him and we're to walk in obedience to him. Look over, you're there. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves. Y'all know that means don't play God in your own life. Humble yourselves. That's where he starts. If my people, it doesn't say if my people would give more money or if my people would read the Bible more, or if my people would pray more. No, notice what it says. And if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face. It starts with humbling yourselves. It starts with recognizing that, Lord, I do not have a clue why any of this is happening. It doesn't always have to make sense to be his will for him to be in control. It sometimes makes no sense, but he's still in control. Sometimes hurts, sometimes cost, it sometimes is weird. Listen to this. You don't have to turn. Micah 6:8 says, he's told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Just walking humbly, knowing that he's got you. I view, when I hear that, walking humbly with your God, it's I see my kids getting in the car, not knowing where they're going, but just trusting. Daddy said, get in, buckle up, we're going somewhere. And you know what they've done? Every single time they got in the car and they buckled up and they just rode. That's what we do every day of our lives. We wake up and we just step out and we go. Lord, you got this. You got this conversation. I don't have to know what the ins and outs are. I don't have to see it. Here's the deal. We may not see it right now. It may be days or weeks or months down the road that we get that aha moment. Oh, now I see what you were doing. Now the puzzle and the pieces all fit. Now I know why I suffered. Now I know why I was going through that. Now I know why I hurt so bad. Now I know why I struggled. Because in the middle of it, I don't get it. In the middle of it, it don't make sense. But God said, get in the car and let's go. Abba, Father God said, hey, I need you to get in and I'm going to take you on a journey and you don't have to know where we're going. You just have to trust me. Humbly. Humbly trust him. Look at a story with me. Go back over to 1 Samuel. No, 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. Look at 2 Samuel with me. David had to do that. David, there's contrasting stories here. Let me read you this story. Let me read you this parable real quick. As you said in 2 Samuel 7, listen to this parable. Someone in the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me. But he said to him, man, who appointed me a judge or an arbitrator over you? Then he said to them, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. This may be for one person in here. And he told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, this is what I'll do. Notice the me, me, me. This is what I'll do. What am I going to do? Mine. What am I going to do? Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Sounds like the American dream, doesn't it? Sounds like what we're sold to. Happily ever after, doesn't it? But God said to him, you fool. This very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you've prepared? So is the man who stores up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. Humility. I brought nothing in. I have nothing. I didn't do nothing to earn this. Naked I came, naked I'll go. Who in the world am I? Oh, wretched man that I am. Daddy said, get in. So I'm in. Pride, greed. I'm in control of this. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I earned this. I worked for this. Me, 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 me. Mine. We brought nothing. But then all of a sudden, somewhere along the journey, we become God. Look at that story. Look at this. This ain't a parable. This really happened. 2 Samuel chapter 7. David here is the king. Notice his response. Notice how he handles it. You're like, well, what does it look like, Brother Shannon? How should we respond when it don't go the way we think it ought to go? How should we respond when it ain't the way we planned? How should we respond when? Just look at the story. Verse 7. Chapter 7, verse 1. Now it came about when the king lived in his house, and the Lord had given him rest on every side from all his enemies, that the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells within tent curtains." And Nathan said to the king, "Go do all that is in your mind, for the Lord is with you." Here David is wanting to do a good thing. David's like, "I got a house and the ark of God is out there in a tent. I'm going to build him a house." Sounds like a good, noble, right thing to do. It's a good plan. Sometimes our plans are good. Sometimes what we want to do is good. Nathan said, "Go do it." Verse 4, "But in the same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan saying, 'Go and say to my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one who should build me a house to dwell in?'" Back to the kids, "Hey, get in the car." Sometimes we want to drive the car. Sometimes we want to get in the car. Hey, I'll drive the car. No, you're not supposed to drive the car. Yeah, but if I'm not driving, I won't know what's going on. Exactly. If I'm not driving, I'm not in control. Exactly. Surrender. Humble yourself. Walk humbly before your God. Listen to Him. He's got this. All of this stuff that you're dealing with, whatever you're dealing with, here again, He's got that. It's not insignificant. It's not important. It's not, yeah, but nobody else has gone through this. You may be right, and God sees it. And He's got it. God's like, "Are you the one that's supposed to build this house? Good and noble is right, but are you the one?" Well, verse 6, "For I've not dwelt in a house since the day I brought up the sons of Israel from Egypt, even to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent, even in a tabernacle. Wherever I have gone with all the sons of Israel, did I speak a word with one of the tribes of Israel, which I commanded to shepherd my people, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?'" God's like, "It's a good plan, but it's not my plan." How does He respond? "Now therefore, thus say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people Israel. I've been with you wherever you have gone and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make you a great name like the names of the great men who are on the earth. I'll also appoint a place for my people, Israel, and will plant them that they may live in their own place and not be disturbed again, nor will the wicked afflict them any more as formerly, even from the day that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all of your enemies. The Lord also declares to you that the Lord will make a house for you. When your days are complete and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendant after you, who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom." Listen to this, church. "He shall build a house for my name." Not you, David. Your son will. It's not always our plan and our path and our way. It don't always work the way we think it's going to work. It don't always pan out the way we've planned it. Sometimes it don't make sense. Sometimes it's like, yeah, but I could just go do it real quick. And it's not supposed to. Yeah, but if I did this, and if I did this, and if I did this, be still and wait on the Lord. Be still and know that I'm God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He'll make your path straight. It'll be right. He sees it. He knows the plans that He has for you. You're to walk humbly. You're to get in the car and you're to just go in His perfect time and you will get there. How does David respond? Look at verse 18. "And David the king went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, 'Who am I Oh, Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me this far? That's humility. David's like, who in the world am I? Why me? God, that you brought me this far, and yet this was insignificant in your eyes. Oh, Lord God, for you have spoken also of the house of your servant concerning the distant future, and this is the custom of man. Oh, Lord God, again, what more can David say to you? For you know your servant, oh, Lord God. For the sake of your word and according to your own heart, you have done all this greatness to let your servant know. For this reason, you are great, O Lord God. For there is none like you, and there is no God beside you, according to all that we have heard with our eyes. And what one nation on earth is like your people Israel, whom God went to redeem for himself as a people and to make a name for himself and to do a great thing for you and awesome things for your land before your people? From you have redeemed for yourself from Egypt, from nations and their gods, for you have established for yourself your people Israel as your own people forever. And you, O Lord, have become their God. Now, therefore, O Lord God, the word that you have spoken concerning your servant and his house, confirm it forever and do as you have spoken, that your name may be magnified forever by saying, the Lord of hosts is God over Israel, and may the house of your servant David be established for you. Church, we don't know what's coming next. He does. We don't know what happens before lunch, but he does. We don't know. We just trust him. God, you got this. I trust you. I don't fully understand it, but I know what I'm supposed to do. Here's the deal. There's things we do know, do it. Okay? There's things you do know, do it. The stuff you don't know, trust him. Just do what you do know. You do know God's in control, trust him. You do know that God's got a plan for you, trust him. You do know that he's in control of all things, trust him. You do know that all things work together for the good, that to those who love him and are called according to his purpose, then trust him. You do know that he doesn't go on vacation, then trust him. You do know that it's, even if it hurts, even if it makes no sense, even if it's not in our plan, trust him. And it's good. Walk humbly with him. Father God, that's a hard pill to swallow. Because, God, we are control freaks by nature. God, we're planners. We're calendars. We need to know. But God, sometimes we're not given that. Sometimes we're not shown that. Sometimes we just have to live knowing that I don't really get it. Lord, I don't really understand. Why is this happening? God, and around this room, in the context of this body, in their own circles and in their own places where you have them planted, what they're doing, God, maybe it's relationships, maybe it's financial, maybe it's health, maybe it's relational. God, we don't have to know what we're doing, what you're doing. We just have to trust you. Humble ourselves, follow you. Just get in the car every day. You ain't got to know where we're going. Just get in. You ain't got to know where we're stopping. Just get in. You don't have to know what's next. Just get in. Lord, I pray that we're listening to that simple analogy. We don't have to know what's next. We just have to get up and follow you. Humble. humbly follow you, obediently follow you, surrendered following you. Because you know what's next. And you have a plan for us. And it's, God, ultimately it brings you glory. God, and it honors your great name and it brings you praise. God, help us to surrender our control. Help us surrender our wills, our wants. Help us surrender our selfishness, our pride, our greed, our envy, our me-centric mentality. God, help us to just, yeah, but getting in wasn't part of my plan today. That don't matter. God, help us when it don't make sense. Trust you. Help us when it's hard to trust you. Help us when it seems like the world is spiraling out of control to trust you. Because we're weak, Lord. We're weak. We need you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you received a blessing from this week's message. If you have any questions about what you've heard from Pastor Shannon this week, you may call our church office at area code 205-339-4071. We pray that God's word strengthens you as you go on your journey today.